This episode is brought to you by New Balance. You don't have to be an elite athlete when you pound the pavement. Whether you've run 5 marathons or you only run when necessary, whether you're chased by bears, zombies, monsters, the apocalypse is coming. But New Balance will have you covered regardless. Whether you need shoes for comfort, stability, or race day speed, they've got you covered. Because the only right way to run is your way. New Balance. Run your way. Visit newbalance.com/running to learn more.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Hi, and welcome back to Go My Favorite Sports Team. I'm here live from Tom Brady's bathroom.
Mark, how'd you get in there?
I snuck in. It turns out he's so famous that his house is so big that he forgets to lock all the doors at night. Got right in here, snuck my whole setup in, and here I am. Let me tell you, the guy's as much of a legend as they say. Every part of him, every bit of him, from wake up to go to Betty's time, he's a legend.
Each time.
I wanted Tyler to start recording because I wanted to get his live reaction of...
What in the hell?
What do you mean? What's wrong? Focus. Look at me.
There we go. I'm looking at you.
No, not you. The camera. What's wrong?
You talking to me?
Yeah, what's wrong? What's wrong with you?
No,
wrong?
I can't tell if you're talking to the camera or you're talking to me.
What do you mean? When I'm talking to the camera, I'm talking to you.
This is the most unique setup I've ever seen you put together. I'm not even there to witness this glory of you sitting in a bathtub with a camera facing the mirror, reflecting into you. Is the door open?
Yeah, the door's open. Doesn't matter. If it was closed, it would be even more echoey than it already is.
Oh, gotcha.
But in all honesty, it's not that bad.
No, it isn't. I've been meaning to ask you what mic that is because I've been hyper curious because of how well it seems to do in general.
Well, I'm not sponsored by them. I'm not at all, but I'll take a sponsorship. This is the mic.
I'll add it to that list that we have that nobody has looked at since I've made it.
What list? What are you talking about?
The list of brands to reach out to that will happily sponsor people.
Oh, well, I don't even know if they're a brand that's large enough that they'd be doing advertisement campaigns. This is just me giving them free promotion.
That's fair. That's fair.
But I should get paid for it, right? That would only be fair.
That would only be fair. You know what, Sam? Bleep all of it out. Until they pay, it's bleeped. Well, Mark, it's very fitting that you have this extremely obscure setup for the topic that we're going to cover today, which happens to be badminton. You know, there's some unique training that goes into it. I've been doing my research and looking into stuff, and man, I've got some videos to share with you about the training methods that these athletes go through. But before we get into that, have you got any jacuzzis? You got any current events? You got anything you want to talk about? Get off your chest.
I just loaded up the camera and made him start recording, so I haven't had any chance to start a thing. But I did see some things that would be interesting to talk about. I saw a TikTok of what's called single hit volleyball. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of this.
So I don't have a video or anything of it queued up because I didn't have time to actually prepare. But single hit volleyball is exactly as it sounds. You can only hit it once per side, but you still have a team of like 5 people. So the objective is more like with table tennis where you have to hit it back immediately. There's no setting up. There's no passing to another. There's no the 3 hit setup. It's just straight up. You hit it. It goes over. You hit it again. Wherever it is, whoever's there has to hit it back. And it was intense.
Why do you have 5 people?
I don't know. Just let me see if I can find this because it... Everything's fine.
I thought for a second you threw your mouse across the room.
Why would I do that? I'm not angry.
I feel like I should get you some bubble bath for your tub.
Well, it's not filled with water. That would be untoward. Why can't I find... It's all just regular volleyball. No. Hold on. I don't have my phone. Never mind. And Google is just really difficult to use nowadays.
It really is. I don't know what happened to it, but it sucks.
It just doesn't make sense because it did work. And I get them like, oh, we're going to put more ads into it. But I thought they would have done that without ruining the functionality of it.
I looked up one hit volleyball.
Is that it? One hit?
But now it's just showing one hand and volleyball attack names, the one or quick.
All right, it's okay. We don't need a video of it because the video that I'm going to put in people's minds is going to be even better. Imagine it's volleyball. It's a dimly lit arena at night, filmed on a Nokia 81,000. It's a 1.7 megapixel camera. The noise, it's at ISO 12,800, super grainy, super low resolution, but it's capturing all the intensity because the motion blur is insane. The ball comes over. It's on one team's perspective from the back end. You're seeing all the asses of the player, the team you're on, and you're seeing all the front asses of the team that you're opposing across the net. Pew! The ball comes over. Wham! And then a guy dives for it. Wham! Hits it perfectly back, so it goes to the back left corner. Whoa-boom! Someone was there. Toss it up. It barely makes it over the net. Someone sets up and spikes it immediately. Dunk. Rebound comes over our side. Far back. Someone smashes it over from core back corner to far corner. Dunk. Beesh, 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 beesh. Back and forth. Back and forth. Everyone diving. Everyone running. People getting concussions from slamming their heads into each other. It wasn't that long. It was like a 10-second clip. But imagine. That's why the video that I'm putting in people's minds is much better than the video that actually exists in reality. I'm like Sora AI video, but better.
Wow. You know what's amazing?
Me.
Oh. Well, I'm not going to disagree. I was going to say, this is something that I kind of sort of played as a kid because you'd play one person on each side and you could really only hit it once.
Yeah, that's true. It was really cool. Like, I get that volleyball has strategy and setting up things, but it does get a little repetitive. That's the thing that I've always noticed about, and this isn't disparaging for anyone who plays volleyball. If there's any intense volleyballers out there, you can set down your volleyball pitchforks. You can unbunch your booty shorts. I'm not insulting it.
I'm gonna insult volleyball, but primarily because the NCAA approved double contacts in volleyball, which made it so that you can basically make contact with the ball more than once with any part of your body, and it allowed double hits, which is literally makes no friggin' sense. This is a recent development in volleyball because it's like, oh, now you can just be like, I said it!
With a dun-dun, two hands? Why?
I don't know why. I think because they think that fans or something were confused why a set would suddenly be called an illegal set or something. That's the only thing I can imagine. But the muddiness of this rule change, there's been a lot of memes that have actually gone around about this of people being like, oh, you can double hit now? I hit to myself, spike it the other direction.
The thing about volleyball in general with the three hits, it's like I never had any moral objection to it, but I did notice that it gets repetitive. You do the same thing. It's like they spike it over, donk, set, spike, donk, set, spike, donk, set, spike. It was always that back and forth. And it's not that that's bad. It's very skillful. I'm not diminishing the athletic ability going behind it. But as a viewer, it did get dry. It made things very samey. The thing about ping pong that makes it interesting is that it's kind of random where it's going to go for the viewer, not for the people playing, because, you know, the person is calculating where they're going to hit and their precision is unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
But it makes the speed of reaction, action reaction, so fast, so quick, you never know what's going to happen. That's why I like table tennis and why watching table tennis is nuts, because the arena, they play the whole arena, even though the table's tiny. But with this one hit volleyball, it was nuts. I watched it 10 times in a row because I couldn't tear my eyes off of it. Cause I was like, there's no way. There's no way. Like, the ball was moving so fast. The ball was going everywhere and people were still making incredible saves on it. I thought it was very cool. There I am. I'm surprised it's even able to know that there's someone here to autofocus on when it's shooting through the mirror like that.
You know, the cameras and lenses, the technology, somehow it works.
I mean, this camera's, by now it's 4 years old, maybe 5 actually.
Oh, look, your lighting's even changing as the light peeks through whatever windows in that room.
Yeah, it's I've just had this one window. It's actually very pretty. There's some cool reflection stuff. It's really hard to beat natural lighting. It's very nice.
It's very true. Natural lighting is the best type of lighting.
Anyway, that's all I got, unless you want more life updates, but we could probably take up the whole episode with that, which I wouldn't mind doing. It's fine.
Yeah. We can definitely hit on that. I feel like life updates could, you guys basically just did an entire Distractible episode on life updates. I just listened to it, which apparently I was talked about like a quarter of the episode, which was really interesting.
I don't remember which one was it.
It was the one where Bob tasted hot tub water.
Oh, right. Were we talking about you? I don't even remember.
Wade talked about me coming and surprising him, his old unit breaking, and
right
the maple syrup, and then apparently it was my fault that it was maple syrup.
I mean, it does seem like that would be a hilarious prank that you would pull. Like, just you would think so outside the box on it. You're like, oh man, this is gonna connect back to that time that Wade and I we found this drunk Canadian who was high on maple syrup in a ditch under a bridge, and then we ripped off his limbs, and it was so funny. So I put him in a death-defying situation and then broke his furnace because he would never look. And then he'd die, and that'd be funny.
Listen, I broke into your house. Things are... there are many things that are not off the table after doing that, so...
The thing about that was... Oh, what was interesting is there were two plausible solutions to Wade's dilemma. Did you read any of them? There was, like, a couple posts on the subreddit, the Distractible subreddit.
Yeah, it was an animal that, like, peed, right?
Some people said it was cat pee because a cat who is sick with a certain disease, their urine can smell sweet or like maple syrup. But there was another person that was actually a furnace technician who was kind of like, a lot of people were like, it sounds like you got scammed. But let's be honest, there are things in houses that can kill you at any moment. You know, Wade kept joking about his radon mitigation system going out, and that's like funny, haha, it keeps going out. But those things are actually essential to not dying.
Yes.
And, you know, there are certain things that exist in nature when you create like these dwellings that we have and kind of make a closed box, that if something gets into the closed box, that can kill you, which can happen or accumulate from the materials either to build the box or just natural causes. It's bad. And one of them, they were a furnace tech, and they were like, they were caught by the furnace tech's reaction to looking in the furnace and then going gulp, yeep, and then putting a safety tag on it, turning it all off immediately, because like that response can only be a few things, and that's like a furnace that is burning fuel improperly and creating a byproduct of, I think they said, aldehydes, which have a sweet smell, and if it's doing that, it's also making carbon monoxide, which does not have an odor, and it's having all these things, and in conjunction with this radon mitigation system going out, who's to say his carbon monoxide detector was working, or if he even has one, you know? And so he's in the basement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of things that, like, look, it's expensive to get a furnace replaced, but also people have and probably will in the future still die from faulty equipment and not having the preventative measures to do anything about it.
I think Wade joked about not having a carbon monoxide detector that worked.
A hilarious joke. Really good.
Well,
good.
I pointed out that there was this thing plugged in to his island in his kitchen. He's like, oh yeah, that's like a carbon monoxide detector. It doesn't work though, but... And I was like, what? Why is it there?
I hear a lot of things on the internet are made up. You know, I hear a rumor that a lot of things on the internet are made up, but there was something that was talking about they had their carbon monoxide detector going off in their home. What was strange about it, there was a few things strange about it, I'm not sure, but it was like, what was strange about it is it kept going off. He went outside immediately and he called the fire department, I believe. He was told they would call back. So he gets called back from the fire department and they say, can you press the reset button on it? And he goes and he presses it, it's still beeping. And he's like, how about you pull it out from the wall, disconnect power and reconnect power? He's like, okay, but I don't know what it's for. And he plugs it back in, it's still going off. And then he's like, just rip the battery out of that thing and leave it unplugged. The fire department told him. So, and again, I don't know if this is made up, but it just seems like, I feel like that's not the proper methodology behind a response.
I feel like at that point they should be like, maybe there's carbon monoxide in your house. Maybe we should actually show up and do something about this and not tell you to turn off the device that's detecting it.
I think if it's real, it's in one of those cities that has a pure volunteer fire department.
Yeah. Because
there's some cities that are so small that they only have a volunteer. Actually, some cities that are not so small have a volunteer fire department. And they may not actually be competent to do anything, which would be really unfortunate. Good thing that never happens, where people who are incompetent at the job are put into important situations.
No, totally. You're right. Never happened. Politics. Anyway, in other news, so we can get into sporting news now. The Team USA basketball team has officially been assembled for the Olympics. And boy, is it filled with star power. You got a starting lineup of Steph Curry, LeBron James, Jason Tatum, Kevin Durant, and Joel Embiid.
You know what's funny is I actually know four of those five people.
I know.
And it's like, I'm starting to learn more and more. And I'm like, I know enough to be like, that's a good lineup. But they have more, right? They have more like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The lineup consists of 12 different players. So that's going to be the team. But it is completely filled with star power. This is considered one of the better lineups the USA has put together in the sense of superstar NBA talent all being on the same team since the era of like when Kobe, LeBron, Dwayne Wade were on a team, or going back to the days of Michael Jordan and the Dream Team back in the day.
Why wouldn't they always have the best team?
So the interesting thing is because the Olympics in and of itself, there's not really much of an incentive for the best players in the world to join when they're making tons of money in the NBA. You risk injury. They don't get paid well at all comparatively for doing the Olympics.
I got to put on my headband. My hair, I took a shower. My hair, sorry, I had to interrupt. I'll get to this. My hair was wet. So it was like, oh, it's perfectly staying out of my face. And then as it dries, it just goes, and then I turn emo. So hold on.
It's like a monster coming for your eyes. It's hard to necessarily recruit the players in recent years to get the best players to come on there.
I can see. Oh, and the camera probably can see me a lot better. Yeah. For those who don't know, and sorry, I'll let you finish your story. The reason I wear a headband is because my hair is really annoying when it gets to a certain length. It just goes in my mouth and my face and my eyes. Anyway.
But on top of that, there's an interesting story that just broke about Joel Embiid, who I believe is French-American.
I'm going to say what team he's on. He's on the Kings, right?
No.
Isn't he second? No. Am I thinking of someone else?
I believe it plays for the 76ers.
Oh, never mind. That's not who I thought that was.
But a story recently broke that Joel Embiid seemingly betrayed the French people because there was a letter that came out in the sense that he had promised to be a part of the French national team for the Olympics and instead betrayed them to join Team USA because he's like, there's no way if I played for the French, I would beat this team. So if I can't beat them, I'm going to join them. So that's the recent story that's broken, what's being talked about that I was looking at yesterday.
Ah, well, that is kind of shitty just because you're like, well, I'm going to lose. So screw that.
I don't know if that's his reason. Like, obviously, he didn't say anything, but he had promised the French president that he would only play for France.
Well, that's I mean, I don't know what the French people think of the French president, but at the same time, if you're going to promise anybody and, you know, kind of means something if you promise that to the president.
Yeah. So it was back in 2021. He sent an official letter to French President Emmanuel Macron or Macron. I don't know how to pronounce
Macron.
Macron.
You put some extra O's in there. It's fine.
My rapport with the French is just going downhill as I continue to live.
It's OK. You can admit you hate the French. We all know it to be true.
It's not true.
I don't, of course, but you know, I know your deep seething hatred for the French people.
I wonder if this was back when he was trying to get his citizenship to be a French citizen, because he is a French citizen.
Was he or was he not?
Yeah, he acquired French citizenship in 2022. So if he sent that letter in 2021, I wonder if it was to win them over in order to get his French citizenship pushed through earlier. Who knows? This is all speculative, but...
I love speculating, though. Speculating is the best meculating.
But apparently, Embiid has betrayed the French.
Fuck him.
So that's my sports news.
Well, that's good sports news. Anything else happening in the world of sports?
I mean, there's always stuff happening in the world of sports. The NBA playoffs just began. You know, baseball is in full swing now officially in the U.S. I went to the boxing gym again. That's news in sports, right?
That's big news. That's huge news, actually.
Yeah, I finally have recovered from my concussion in the sense that whatever's left is permanent damage, I guess. So I can work out now.
That's an optimistic way to know about it. When you got into that bike accident, how fast was the car going? Helmet? What was the situation?
Oh, I had the full face helmet on. I luckily was wearing jeans and everything, but I was flying straight on in the bike lane. I was on my way home. So I was at top speed at this point.
Which is on that bike is like 28, you know, 30 miles an hour.
Correct.
The legal 28 is 28.
So a car turned left into a driveway in front of another car because, you know, cars take a while to get going, but all the lights on the street I was on turned green at the same time. So I had come through one green light and had kept going. And then this car was just like, yeah, go ahead, pass through, apparently. And the person turned left in front of them without looking. And I slammed on my brakes. And the last thing I remember is going like this. And then next thing I know, I was standing.
You're standing.
And there's a big black spot. I was like, I was in the midst of getting up. I don't remember anything from the actual impact. I was definitely woozed. And luckily a witness like helped me to like actually get information before I rode off. But the thing is, I almost rode through a red light with traffic going full speed the other way on my way home because of how dazed I was. And that's when I was like, oh no, my head is royally fucked.
That's no good at all.
So I got home, called my lawyer first, which is such a me thing to do.
That's very you. Yes, that's good.
He told me some stuff to do. I called my dad, and then I called my buddy who lives closer to me, and he picked me up and drove me to the ER.
Well, good that you're fully recovered from that, and good that you had your helmet, and good that you landed on your feet. I'm imagining you did a triple spin in the air, and you went thunk.
I actually have a video of it. I just need to find a DVD player.
You have wait, what?
There's a traffic cam that documented the whole thing.
Oh, how did you get that?
Public records. You just write in a report and then you pay, I think it was like $52 or something. I got the copy of it, so.
Man, you would be the one to go through all that. I wouldn't have even thought about that.
Well, that's because the lawyer told me to, because evidently I have some stuff I need to do to continue on. But that's another story for another day.
I mean, yeah, you should follow up about that, but that's all very good. Okay, well, you're back in the boxing gym.
I am, and I am sore.
There's a little mini gym in this Airbnb I'm staying at that I could work out in, and I wanted to this morning really badly, but TikTok. You know? I gotta delete it. It's getting bad. It's so, there's like science now that it's bad for ADD. But in sports news, I don't have my phone on me. I'm training it and I'm getting really funny basketball clips. Like just, I'm starting to get really funny, like compilations of someone doing voices and shit over basketball clips. And they're very funny. And I don't want to lose out on that, man, or else I won't have any idea of what to talk about.
See, Mark, you need to follow me and I will send you all of the sports clips.
Oh, I don't follow anybody.
I know, but I can't send you the sports clips because you don't follow me.
Man, TikTok really wants me to open up my messages to literally everybody.
Oh my God, that drives me nuts.
I'm like, why do you think this is a good idea? Why do you think it's a good idea? Because that happened. I did that intentionally for Instagram, ruined Instagram's messaging system for even to this day. It's ruined it by opening it up for an hour.
I accidentally opened it up once and I all of a sudden I was like, why am I getting messages? I don't follow this person. Then I go, oh, go back in and change it back.
And I get that it's a very me problem. Not many people have like the scale of the issue that I have, but still, I would think that they would understand that if you have a certain follower count, it's not the best.
Well, not even that. Like, it's like the whole problem with like so many places that do so many different things in the sense of like, help you find your former classmates, da 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 da. And it's like,
with good intentions come bigger problems.
It might be banned sometime soon, so I don't think we'll have to worry about it too much because there's literally legislation saying that they have to sell the company, you know what I mean?
Oh.
You haven't heard about this?
Oh, you're talking about TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok.
Oh, yeah.
What were you talking about? The thing we were talking about? What do you mean?
Sorry. My brain was like, legislation on the can't find your classmates ever again? Sick.
No. Well, I do think that there's some really not so good privacy things going on because I keep telling it like it doesn't have permission to access my contacts, doesn't have permission to like access my email, doesn't have permission to search up every other people based on that stuff. And still, every time I open the app, it's like, hey, you might know these people. And I'm like, how the fuck do you know that? That person isn't an influencer. And you're telling me, and I know who that is that you're suggesting. How the fuck do you know that? I don't know. I mean, everyone's got to understand that, like, if your data is on the internet, it's being seen by not necessarily people all the time, but it's going through a bunch of different servers. Everyone's data is bouncing around everywhere. There's a huge business in just peeling apart that data.
All right, badminton. Time to actually talk about sports.
Badminton. Shuttlecock. I saw a video of someone balancing a shuttlecock. It was a very intricate like thing. They had a tube that was spinning air and they would throw it in there and it would spin. And if it would start to drift, they would rearrange the feathers in it, put it in again and spin and it drifted. And they rearranged the feathers until it spun perfectly and stayed in the center.
That's cool. physics.
It was pretty cool. I was very impressed because I was like, I wouldn't have thought that the physics of that thing would be that intricate, but I guess if it needs to always kind of flip and face forward, go down so that you can hit it and then it'll go out and then go down, like, so that the rubber part, the hittable part, is ready in there. That is interesting. It's very interesting.
Yeah. I wonder if that's actually a part of calibrating the official ones that they use for the Olympics and different stuff like that.
It might be, honestly, like, because you would need consistent things, like, especially in the Olympics, you'd think anyway, but you'd need, like, properly calibrated things. Yeah.
So, Mark.
Ancient Rome. They would take baby birds and wham, wham over the Roman Colosseum. Boom, boom. Am I right? God, don't tell me I'm right. Are you frozen right now?
No.
Oh, okay. All right. Wait. You were so still.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been practicing my statuing.
Is that correct?
No, you just jumped way ahead of me. You introduced me to how intense some people can take badminton. Outside of the Olympics, in the fact of the episode about Korean sports, and you were watching it on TV. I had no clue that it was that popular.
Yeah, yeah. They were going at it. It's actually crazy that the Olympics are this year. I forgot because it hasn't been 4 years because the other one was on 2021 because of the delay. But
yep.
Yeah, it's like, here we are again, about to go into the Summer Olympics.
But tell me what you do know about badminton.
Okay, badminton, it can be played with one person on each side, but there's a big net that divides a court in two. It's smaller than a tennis court. It's smaller than a volleyball court, probably. Bigger than table tennis. But maybe the arena of table tennis is similar to the arena. I don't know anything. Two sides, net, shuttlecock. That's all you need to know. You take a tennis racket, you stretch it up, scale it down, make it into a lollipop. Imagine in your mind, you're rotating a tennis racket, turn it into a lollipop. There you got a badminton racket. But same size, same overall size, but lollipop.
It's just like a longer stick.
Yeah, with a smaller head, smaller bulbous tip.
Proboscis is less pronounced.
Smaller boober. Is that
a term? A boober.
No, you know, the glands.
Mammary glands?
No, it's the medical term of the tip of a penis. I took biomedical engineering.
Which glands? There's a ton of glands.
No, not glandes. No, G-L-A-N-S.
Oh, glands.
What did you think I was saying?
I thought you were saying glands. Like,
well, I know what you thought I was saying, but no, I was talking about the boober of the badminton racket.
Okay.
The glands, you know, you got that, the shaft, the corpus cavernosum, the corpus somethingosum, I forget, vas deferens.
Well, that's the tube inside. That comes before the urethra.
You're right. The epididymis, which is in the testes, and it's where the sperm gets stored. I don't know how that relates to badminton.
We went from shuttlecocks to just cocks.
Two guys on a sports podcast. It's gonna talk about dicks a little bit, I imagine.
But wait, I need to paint the picture, Mark. I need to paint the picture.
Oh, I've already painted the picture. I don't know.
No, a different picture.
Okay, all right.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app. This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
All right, imagine man, woman on opposite sides of a net.
Do you know what the fundus is?
Mark!
Do you want to know what the fundus is?
No! The fact that it's called the fundus makes me not want to know what it is.
It's like, you know, I took it out of me, but I swear they didn't cover the fundus when I was taking it. It's, if you look at the uterus, the back of it or the top of it, you know, the back part apparently has a name and it's called the fundus. Why? I don't know. I don't know why every part of every piece of you needs to have a separate name, but it does. Are you Googling fundus?
There's a few different definitions on here.
How do they relate to badminton?
All right, they relate to badminton because it's the part of the eyeball opposite the pupil.
Oh, maybe it's just a general term for the back of like a cavity or something like that. In like, because if it's also the back of the eyeball, the fundus of the eyeball, then because the uterus can have, well, it doesn't really have like a perfect orb shape inside, but you understand the analogy, then maybe the fundus is just a reference to an anatomical term for the back part of such thing. That would make a lot more sense.
It's the term for the hollow part of the organ.
No, it's the back wall of a womb.
It literally says the part of a hollow organ. Oh, actually, you're right. It's the part of the
part of a hollow organ
that is the farthest from the opening.
Yes, yes, the fundus. That makes so much sense.
There you go.
We learn more every day. Now, here's how it relates to badminton. Tyler?
You got to aim for the hollow back part of the court. That's how you get an advantage and score your points.
You're aiming for their fundus, and they're aiming for your fundus.
With the shuttlecock.
Got it. Okay.
But imagine shuttlecocks flying through the air like birds back and forth.
How many?
So many birds. 10 birds. One. It's one bird.
You know, two shuttlecock badminton might be fun.
Throw in an extra third one to make it even more spicy.
And then we get into the three body problem and it would never work.
But it's all about precision. Only one hit to get it over the net and you want to hit that fundus. Fast pace, only seconds to get your racket into place to return that cock. And you need to be quick, agile, jumping and changing direction rapidly. But you must race to 21 points and win by two. Rally scoring stuff.
Right. Why is everything to 21 points? That seems like a lot of points.
You know, because it's a drinking age. That's why.
I can't argue with that. That seems right. I'm not going to question it.
Badminton is a game that you've probably played in gym class or even potentially in a backyard of your friends or something like that if they had a little badminton net. It was actually pretty common when we were kids to have a little badminton net because it was like, ah, go play with the net outside, kids. And that was what we did. All you need to play is a shuttlecock, also known as a birdie, a couple rackets, and maybe a net. But this fun backyard game is actually an Olympic sport, like we talked about, with its own professional league and international tournament.
I have a question. Was it originally played with a dead bird?
No.
Are you sure?
Original shuttlecocks did use feathers of birds, so in a way it was played with the dead parts of a dead bird.
I feel like there's some dark beginnings in this sport that may or may not relate to ancient Rome, who knows, where they took a bird and they like stretched a piece of cloth across a stick and then they whapped it back and forth. I feel like then maybe.
We'll get into that when we get into the history here in a few moments. We take your prediction and we hold it.
If I bet on this, is it sports betting?
That would be gambling, yes.
Damn. And we don't endorse that.
Exactly.
Man, if like that was like an ad break right there and DraftKings or some shit like that just popped up. We don't. Don't do it. Don't do it, everybody. Don't. Don't listen to them.
Well, like tennis, it can be both singles or doubles matches. Men's singles, women's singles, men's doubles, women's doubles, and mixed doubles. The reason we're covering it today is the BWF Thomas and Uber Cup Finals, the international championship tournaments for badminton, kick off this weekend.
Yeah!
So it's time to learn about this sport so you can watch it and enjoy it.
Uh-huh. On where? I mean, God knows where you watch anything you actually want to watch these days.
It's so hard. There's so many streaming services in so many places. You just gotta...
It's crazy that how accurately we predicted how bad it was going to be. And yet still underestimated how bad it would be. Like, holy shit, it's bad.
Let me see if I can find the where to watch of the Uber Cup.
Like, it's just, it's so disparate. It's so all over the place. And who would have thought? Who would have thought? And I think I'm kind of making a prediction here, but who would have thought that YouTube TV would actually be one of the more convenient ways to watch pretty much whatever you want? And all it's doing is bringing cable TV to the internet. Now, people can shit on YouTube or Google or whatever, but when it comes down to convenience, and I don't make anything off of this, even though I'm a YouTuber, because that's just so... YouTube TV is a very different company from YouTube. A lot of Google is a very different company from what YouTube is. I watched the Olympics last time because I got a free trial of YouTube TV, and then I canceled it afterwards. But if I ever were a person to watch TV, I'd be like, oh, wow, this actually has what I want and everything. And I pull it up right away, and it's all in one place.
My dad used to have YouTube TV.
Not that I don't even watch shows anymore. I don't watch anything. I haven't had the time.
But you can watch the Uber Cup final, according to this, on Badminton Asia Championships 2024 live streaming. So it's on the Badminton Asia official YouTube channel.
That's what I was seeing. I was seeing Korea versus China at my grandma's house. Because that and tennis, table tennis, are huge. Like, it's something about the fast-paced nature of it, I think. It's just like, it's easily accessible in a smaller space, but it's fast-paced. It's super fun to watch. It's great. It's so fast.
I'm wondering if we're going to need a part two of this already.
Oh, man. I've got an article here that I could save for a part two. I just saw.
Well, this will just be the history.
No, we can get through it. We can get through it. We're fine. We'll get through it. We'll get it. Hyperspeed.
All right. The exact origins, unknown. But if there have been mentions of games involving rackets and shuttlecocks in historic records of ancient India, Greece, and China dating back almost 2,000 years.
Basically Rome.
You know, we need a merch shirt that's like, all sports lead to Rome.
I mean, yeah, that's a great shirt. Print it. You'll find it. Maybe. Eventually.
Eventually. When we're out of our limited edition one that you should buy now.
Buy it. So we could have more editions.
In medieval Europe, there were mentions of a children's game called Battledore and Shuttlecock. This was a game where players used their battledore, which was a paddle, to keep a small feather shuttlecock in the air as long as possible. A similar game called Jeu de Volant was played by European nobility in the 17th century. The country with the most influence in creating the sport now today is India. Variations of that game date back almost 2,000 years, and badminton is still extremely popular in India to this day. Back in the 1860s, British army officers were introduced into what now badminton while stationed in India. What is now badminton?
This might be the most sun I've gotten in weeks. This little beam on my arm. Hold on. Keep talking. Just soothe me. I might.
Yeah, take a nap.
No. I need some sun in my eyes. Go on. I'm listening.
The soldiers made their own changes to the sport, such as adding a net. They called the net the Poon-Ah.
Why would they call it that? Why would they do that? Poon-Ah?
Poon-Ah.
Spell it.
P-O-O-N-A-H.
I don't know why I expected it. The Poon-Ah.
The town where the garrison was based. It's named after that.
I feel like we've all been making the same joke all throughout history. I feel like from the very beginning of all of this, it's all the same joke and it's never stopped.
Dick and balls.
Dick and balls and a fundus.
But the first informal badminton rules were formed in India by British colonists in 1867. The origin of the modern version of badminton was in 1873 in Gloucestershire, England, by the Duke of Beaufort, who learned the game in India and introduced it to his guests at a party. It's said that the Duke called the game the badminton game after the name of his estate, the Badminton House. And people referred to the game as badminton from then on because the uppity Duke killed everyone else who would say otherwise. That's speculation, but that's what I believe. Badminton spread to the U.S. in the late 1800s, and the newspaper article in the New York Daily Tribune from March 9th, 1890, all about a local athletics club's weekly badminton game, says,
"Every Sunday afternoon, the big drill room presents a decidedly gay appearance. Men and women, usually to the number of 150, are there in faultless afternoon dress, and the air is full of gaily colored shuttlecocks. 9 courts are laid out with precision by James Kennedy, the energetic armorer, and between games, tea, sandwiches, and cakes are served to the members and their visitors. The poles that support the nets serve as flagstaffs and flaunt pennants of red and gold, the colors of the club. Brilliant guidons mark the intersections of the court boundaries and add to the general beauty of the scene."
That's very nice. I have nothing else to say about that. No comments to make.
That seemed perfectly ordinary.
The game increased in popularity in athletics clubs and as a garden party game, and then in 1934, the IBF, or the International Badminton Federation, was established. Been wildly popular sport for many years, but it didn't become an official Olympic sport until 1992. It is now one of the world's most popular sports, with an estimated 339 people playing in worldwide, and 220 million of those people playing regularly.
You only said 329 people playing it worldwide. Did you mean to say 329 million people?
339 million, yeah.
Okay, all right. I was very confused for one of those popular games. Like 300 people are playing it. It's crazy.
339 million people. Sorry. But it's time to play. All you need is a racket, shuttlecock or two, and a badminton.
I got it.
Net. Usually wear shorts and short sleeve shirts. Shoes should be flat and provide strong grip to the floor to prevent from sliding. And you'll want shoes that have cushioning for jumping and landing, that give enough ankle support to stabilize. So, you don't roll your ankle.
Separate shoes or the same shoe for both?
I mean, they should be separate, but the same, because you don't want a left shoe on a right foot.
Well, you said you need shoes for gripping the ground and you need shoes with cushion. Are they the same shoe? Is this way? What's going on here? Do I switch shoe mid jump?
You know, knowing you, you could do it.
Thanks, man.
Badminton rackets, usually made out of wood, with the use of composite materials such as aluminum, graphite, and titanium. Today's rackets are rigid and have lightweight frame, usually weigh between 3 to 3.5 ounces, less than a quarter of a pound. Frame overall length can only be up to 680 millimeters, while the overall width is restricted to 230 millimeters. But there are no specifications for the length or width of the handle, which you can customize for your needs. Shuttlecock has to have 16 feathers, has to weigh between 4.74 grams and 5.5 grams, and be 62 to 70 millimeters long.
Those are significant differences, though. 4.7 to 5.5?
Grams, yeah.
That seems like a range. Like, if it's that minuscule of a size to begin with, then the weight of hitting it would be pretty drastic between from things to thing. You would get inconsistent results.
You know, I think they get more specific based on different things, but for general production purposes, it probably has to be this, you know?
Oh, I see.
There might be greater specifications for different tournaments, different leagues and stuff, but for these particular things, they have to be between these ranges to be eligible to be tournament worthy.
I wonder how much that general difference in size would affect the result of someone, say in basketball. You have a basketball, right? You expect it to be a basketball, but there are tiny, tiny parameter shifts from ball to ball that you cannot make something that is perfectly identical, whether you want to or not. You have tolerances. Even in the most precision engineering, you have tolerances that are acceptable. And I imagine in manufacturing these and filling it with air, and the mixture of the air would affect it in such tiny, minuscule ways, but it would affect it. The wear on the surface of it, I wonder how much people's athletic performance comes down to whether or not they train with like a bunch of different types of balls versus the same ball all the time.
Well, I imagine if you train hard enough anyway, you're going to go through various different ones regardless because the wear and tear on the equipment.
That's true. I suppose that's true. There's like Japanese knife makers that they grind by hand on stone, and they have to know how the stone reacts when they grind it. And the stone is different because the stone wears down just like the steel does. And so they have to have a feel for the weight and the balance. And I think like those things can never be conscious. Like you can't consciously understand that. But just like I know the weight of this mouse when I pick it up. And there are people that make mice that have minute changes. They have little weights that you can add that are like 10 grams, 5 grams, and you can feel the difference. That's why a different mouse, like I have a specific mouse because I have practiced so much on these mice. And there was a new version of it. They made a new version of this mouse. And I was like, ooh, V3, that sounds great. It is fundamentally, even though it looks the same, it is a different feel. It moves differently. I grip it differently and I don't like it. It's weird. It's weird that those tiny, tiny differences are noticeable. And when you build up such a skill set to be able to manipulate this with like this hand, this is a skill to be able to do this. Then people don't even realize that. But it's like, that's why keyboards matter, because it's just like you get used to something. You really do.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm so afraid when I need to get a new keyboard, because it's going to feel completely different. Even if it's the same one from the same company, they have changed it so much. I've tried it. I don't like it.
Whenever you get something that you like, buy backups. When you feel like, oh my God, I like this, buy backups right away. These headphones, they don't make them anymore. I bought a backup. This is the last one I have, and I'm going to replace the ear cups on it, but I fear the day it breaks. I'm sure there will be some on eBay, but they'll be just as old. And it's like, come on, man. If you love a certain piece of equipment, buy a backup when it's available. Don't wait until it breaks. I've had that happen before, and it is devastating. And you have to switch, and you have to learn something new, and it's awful. I hate it.
Life lessons with Markiplier and Apocalypto underscore 12.
Also known as Tyler.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Badminton court. Time for dimensions, Mark.
Oh, okay.
13.41 meters long, 44 feet. 5.18 meters wide, 17 feet. Width exceeds to 6.1 meters, 20 feet in doubles.
Wait, exceeds to?
Extends. Sorry, my brain is breaking. The net is going to be 5 foot 1 inch high and 5 feet high where it dips in the middle. So the lowest point has to be 5 feet and 5.1 on the end. Not 5.1, 5 foot one. There's a short service line that's 6.5 feet from the net, or 1.98 meters. The short service line is where the cock has to, on serve, has to go past that line. And then there's a back service line when you play doubles that it has to not go past on service. So it makes the service zone have to be tighter. So you have to land it in a certain area. Rules. Point is one if the birdie hits the ground in the opponent's half of the court, including the lines. The lines are inbound. Point will be conceded if a shot goes outside the court boundaries to the other team, and then they would then take control of the serve. And you have to wait for the birdie to cross the net before playing a shot. You can't hit it over the net or hit it on the other side. Now for training. Badminton requires that agility, that flexibility, speed, hand-eye coordination, stamina, lightning fast reflexes, tons of different exercises that they must do. Agility training, flexibility, core, circuit, aerobic, get in shape for the matches. Jump rope, also known as skipping rope, is considered a great exercise because it builds arm muscles, gets your feet moving, is great cardio, and requires good eye-hand coordination.
I heard that Tiger Woods, when he started in golf in his career, he was one of the first golfers that took weight training and athletic training in general very seriously for his golfing ability. And that started a trend in golfers to be more athletic and start to do weight training stuff, because it's pretty obvious. If you are stronger, you can hit the ball farther. And if you have greater muscular control, you can control your swing better and stuff like that. It's not that you need to run after the ball, but like, even these sports, I mean, and not obviously badminton has if you're not watching video on Spotify, you're missing out. I've seen this guy.
I've got three videos, by the way.
I haven't seen the badminton tournament caption. Oh my god. Okay, so for those that are only listening, imagine it. Imagine a dude with one of those big band jamboree, like big drum and cymbals, and every limb has an instrument, except make them big weights, and he's lifting up another. He's got big weights on his shoulders, like a squat bar, something, a skateboard, beach balls, kind of a baby's diorama above the head. And then he squats down and picks up a deadlift bar, I believe, kind of like a step inside deadlift kind of thing. I think he's gonna win. There's another video. Is that a piano?
You got weights? This is time for footwork. This is day 19. All right. So you got weights, you got footwork, but there's one more. You gotta really focus. And we got the jump rope. You know, he's on day 48 now.
He just did a kickflip with a jump rope where it went under the skateboard. He only did it twice. I don't know if the video ended with it catching on one of the wheels, and then he takes a nasty spill afterwards, but that was interesting.
Sorry to interrupt your conversation about Tiger Woods, but you know.
No. It was just about training, you know, athleticism and all that.
Yeah, so that's your normal badminton training, according to TikTok, by Mikey Maybeam. But now it's time for strategies. You know, your strategy depends on if you're playing solo or with a partner. In singles, you want to move quickly, make different shots, aim for the corner. After making a shot, trying to come back to center so you can make quick agility moves to cover all of your zone. Quick decisions of what shot you're going to make, change your pace. Overhead strokes must look the same, and long and deep serves work better. You want to hide how you're hitting it and where you're aiming for. So you want to make everything look the same, much like you do in boxing punches, so that they don't know which punch is coming. Doubles, short serves are generally better. You target the space between opponents because that's when they'll get confused about who's covering what. When receiving play, you play aggressively towards the net, switch quickly from defense to offense, and you want to adopt a formation in attacking where one player's in front and one person's in the back. And when defending, you want to be side by side in order to cover the width.
Sounds good to me. We got ourselves a badminton court. Ignore my typing. It's for something else. It's for something I'm preparing for you next episode.
Well, it's time to play, Mark. Baby Mark's doubles partner has yet to be born, so he must face the opponent singles match.
Oh, wait, am I just facing a pregnant adult? Is that what's happening here?
No, it never happened. What do you mean?
All right, okay.
But before a match, flips a coin. Heads or tails, baby Mark?
Tails.
You lose. The other team gets to pick which side they're on.
Fuck. Heads then.
Nope, you can't change your mind.
All right.
It's time to head to your side of the court, begin a game. But you get to serve first.
Wait, why do I get to serve first if I lost the coin toss?
They chose the sides, which means you decided to serve.
Okay, got it. Yeah, I get it.
You go to the back right side of the court because that's where you start the game. You have to be the back right of your court. You hold the feather part of the birdie and using your thumb and index finger, head pointing backward, pointing downwards, whap! Well, except you don't toss it up like that. You do a backhand swing for the serve. But that
do you? Why?
That's the rule. Use a backhand grip position, back the racket towards the birdie, pointing downwards.
What's stopping? Okay, you know, I've always had this question about this and tennis and stuff like that. They say backhand, you know, forehand. What's stopping someone from just putting it in the other hand and going that way? That way it's always forward.
Nothing. You're allowed to do it. But most people are only single hand dominant and not ambidextrous. So they're better with a backhand on one hand than they are on a forehand with the other.
But that doesn't make sense to me either, because you can train to use the other hand and be perfectly skilled with it.
But you also risk dropping it in the transfer. It does take time to transfer hands, so.
Well, if you always keep it in both hands, and then you cut forward like this, and then you go this way for this one, and you go this way for this one, then you're always...
It does happen in tennis sometimes.
I feel like, because I know, like, I'm right-handed, of course, but my left hand works the keyboards, and for first-person shooter, my entire movement is based on my left hand. It's not like... I couldn't, but if I tried to do the movement with my right hand on like the numpad or something, of course it would be bad. But because I've done it all my life, I want to take baby Mark to the next level of Olympic performance. From here on out, I'm ambidextrous, or I'm training to do things with both hands, because to not do that is, if you had a baseball player that could switch.
Oh yeah, there's a pitcher that can throw 90 miles per hour with either hand.
Why not? And then you would do less wear on that valuable, beautiful big arm.
It's true. But the only problem is when a switch hitter encounters a switch pitcher, because then it's like everybody's just switching back and forth the whole time.
Which is great. It keeps them guessing. See, I'm going to fix all your problems, you big dumb jocks out there in your stupid sport world. Just use both hands, five head. What's wrong with you? Yeah, when you're on a bicycle, what do? Use both legs. When you're running, both legs. These javelin throws out there only doing the one-handed jerk off in the air. Well, get both hands in there. Throw overhand. Brandy style.
Fall right here, guys.
Right. This is my training routine. We're going to get it. You know, I don't know why, you know, in bicycle, they are dumb because they're not using all four of their limbs. You know, the assault bike. What if you make a bicycle that could do that and you steer with your teeth? It's fine. Use every appendage.
You could still steer with that. You just got to.
You got to kind of angle from one and then do a little more on the other. You could do it. But if you're going straight, you just. That's the genius. When you row, you push with your legs and pull with your hands. You know, you do it all.
It's like rowing. They use their whole body.
I just said that. I literally said it's like when you row, you push with your legs and pull with your hands. Did you not hear me just say that? I just said that. Use all of your brain.
No, I'm stealing your ideas for my own. I'm the master of sports.
Oh, you know, don't tell Sam to edit yours before mine. Don't do it.
Anyway, you're hitting the paddle back and forth. You're scoring points, racing to 21. In singles and doubles, all matches, first side to 21 points wins the game. But you have to win by two is the one condition. Point is scored on every serve and awarded to whichever side wins the rally, and the winning side gets the next serve, like I said earlier. If the score is 20-20, it'll continue until somebody gets ahead by two. But if it gets to 29-29, the win by two rule is abolished, and the first one to get their 30th point wins.
30 points? I thought it was 21.
Yeah, but you have to win by two. If you get to 21, like, and win by two, then it's 21. But if it's tied 20-20, then it's whoever gets to end up winning by two before that point. But if it reaches 29-29, where they just have continued exchanging points, then whoever gets the 30 officially wins.
Sounds like a load of bullshit.
Well, you know, that's the nature of shuttlecocks and rackets and badminton.
Okay.
Thank you guys so much for listening. If you have any jacuzzis for us, you know exactly where to go. It's the subreddit, which is reddit.com/r/GMFST. If you want to get yourself some limited edition, exclusive, beautiful merch from season two, where we have stickers, we've got an exclusive, uniquely new iFinger sports hat, a hoodie with beautiful sleeve designs, and a snowy landscape on the back that says iFinger Sports across the chest. And then you even have frozen headphones with Mark and I rolling out of your ear, or rolling out of your ear speaker. What do you call these?
The phones.
So out of the phone?
Technically, I think that they're, I do think it's headphones, right? So each one is it's a phone. What are the ear parts of a headphones called? I'm fairly sure. So you could just call them the headphone speakers.
We're coming out of the headphone speakers towards your ear. But these are really cool, unique designs, and they're only available for a limited time. There's a countdown clock on the website, store.gmfst.com. Get it now before they're gone forever. Anything you want to add, Mark?
Go to store.gmfst.com to check out the amazing merch. Go there, buy something. You'll love it, and I'll love you for loving it. Check it out. Mwah.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease. And the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.